Question for you as we begin today. Have you ever looked at your children or your grandkids or any kids around you and had this thought, man, I wonder if they're ever going to amount to anything? You ever thought that, or has that ever come out of your mouth? We got an honest man here in the second row. Oh, that's good. Are they ever going to amount to anything? Well, let me tell you about a young man named Timothy. Timothy grew up to be an influential church leader in the countries of modern-day Greece and Turkey. His influence was so great, in fact, that two letters of the New Testament are specifically addressed to him because of his leadership. Also, he is mentioned in the introduction of six other New Testament letters along with the Apostle Paul. That's incredible. His name sneaks in there, you know, from Paul, an apostle, and Timothy. You'll see that in multiple times. The Apostle Paul dispatched Timothy to minister to various churches, the church at Corinth, the church at Philippi, and the church at Ephesus. Later in his ministry, Timothy even spent time in jail for his faith. Find that in Hebrews 13, verse 23. And at the end of his life, tradition tells us that while preaching at a pagan festival, Timothy was beaten to death in the year 97 AD. So obviously, Timothy went on to do wonderful things for the Lord. But I just wonder, now I can't prove this to you, but I wonder if at any point in Timothy's life, if his parents and grandparents looked at him and thought, ugh, is this boy ever going to amount to anything? Now, we know that Timothy didn't get from childhood to adulthood just by being the complete package, as if no one ever had to build into him. That's just not how humanity works. So we have to ask the question, who influenced Timothy to become so influential? So we're going to study that today, but we don't want the Word of God just to be about information for our head. We're then going to go on and ask the next question, which is, how might the Lord use you and me in order to influence the Timothys in our midst? Because there's Timothys and Timothyettes right here at the Heatherwood campus as well as our Lighthouse campus. And so we have to ask that question, how does God want to use me to influence another person? So we're going to begin today our study of 1 Timothy. We're going to be in this study through the fall time. And it's called Blueprints for a Christ-Centered Church. To start today's message, we're going to talk about three influential relationships that can make an impact for Christ's kingdom. And then we're going to talk specifically, how do you mentor another person? What do you even pass on to them? Okay, so that's why I have my trusty baton up here for a little bit later. So let's pray, and then we will talk about these relationships to start. God, we humble ourselves before you. I pray that we would put aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, and in humility we would receive the word implanted, which is able to save our souls. And so I pray that you would help us to have humble hearts and that you would speak today through your eternal word. We pray this in faith, in Christ's name. Amen. All right, three influential relationships that can multiply Christ's kingdom. The first one is family. Now, this is obvious because our family leaves the biggest fingerprints on us. We are in the family's grip for the longest period of time. And so this makes a lot of sense. Let me read from Acts chapter 16, verse 1 to begin. We're going to learn about Timothy's early childhood. And so here's what the Bible says. It says, Paul also came to Derbe and Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. Okay, so here's what we learn about Timothy, first of all. He was from the town of Lystra. And Lystra is in modern-day Turkey. It's right next to, close by to Iconium and Derbe, which you read about in Acts chapter 14 as well as Acts chapter 16. We know that Timothy's mom was a Jewish woman who was a believer in Jesus as the Jewish Messiah. We're also told that his father was a Greek, meaning he was a non-Jew. Could also mean that he actually was Greek. But there's no qualifier after his name, whereas there is with the mother. It doesn't say that he was a believer, so we can assume that he was an unbeliever. Now, perhaps he came to Christ later, we don't know. Maybe he didn't. But at this particular time of the writing, he was not a believer. Now let's learn a little bit more about Timothy's upbringing. 2 Timothy 1:5. Paul says, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, Timothy, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that it is in you as well." So we learn about grandma and mom. Grandma's name was Lois. His mother's name was Eunice. And mom and grandma were believers first. And then they passed the faith on to Timothy. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Next little snippet of information we learned about Timothy's upbringing is in 2 Timothy 3:15. "From childhood, you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." So, mom and grandma trusted Jesus first, then they influenced Timothy through their copy of the scriptures, which at that point would have been what we call the Hebrew Old Testament. Okay, they could have also had the Septuagint, which is a Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament. So far we've learned about Timothy's upbringing. Mom was a believer, grandma was a believer, father was not a believer. And that mom and grandma passed this on to Timothy. So here's some encouragement for us today. Timothy's faith journey gives hope to every woman whose husband is a non-believer and to every single mom who is trying to impact their children for Christ. It's incredible the impact that you can have. And so if you're here today and maybe you're a single mom or your husband's not a believer or whatever your situation is, don't underestimate your impact. You can still have an influence over your child, even if you feel like you're beating your head against the wall, which is the case with all parents, by the way. You are impacting your child. It's a little deposit, one after another, and you won't see the grand return on that until later in life. And so you keep it up. You keep being like Eunice and Lois and investing in the life of your children. God will use that, your faithfulness, to do that. This situation in Timothy's life also speaks to the powerful influence of grandparents, of grandma, and even grandpa. I think about my own life. You know, I was not raised as a Christian. I was raised with Christian values, but I didn't grow up in a Christian home, a gospel-centered home. And so one of the reasons that I started to go to church is because I wanted to make my grandma James proud. Now, not a great motive, because going to church for me was all about me and further my good boy image and all that garbage. But one of the reasons I went was because I wanted Grandma James to be proud of me for going to church, because I knew that her church going and her faith was important to her, although I couldn't explain it to you. So you have an influence over your grandkids that you don't realize. Think about our church family here. We have families in our church where the mom is the spiritual leader of the home, either because the husband is an unbeliever, perhaps there's no husband at this particular time, or there's a husband who just will not lead the way that he is called by God to lead. So I want to bless you. May the Lord bless you for your spiritual focus in the home, for having some sort of spiritual focus there, when it could be easily given up to excuse and say, well, there's no man around to do it or to do it well, and so I'm just going to let it go. And I think we should all pray along with these sisters in Christ and pray to God, may God awaken your husband to his need for Christ and his responsibility to provide intentional servant leadership in the home. So you keep up doing what you're doing. You make those investments until God changes your situations, but you just keep investing in the life of your children for the sake of Christ. Also, there's grandparents in this church who pick up their grandkids and they bring them to church with them, and they have them involved in the Sunday schools, and they bring them on Wednesday night to the Adventure Kids Bible studies that are done for the kids. God bless you for multiplying His kingdom through the lives of your grandkids. You know, we may not live long enough to see the impact of our mentoring in the lives of our children and our grandkids, but I want you to know today that you are doing well. You are doing well. You keep it up. Keep investing in the lives of your kids. So that first influential relationship, family, of course, absolutely. In Timothy's case, mom and grandma investing in his life. The second influential relationship is the Christian mentor. And so here's where we learn about Paul, 1 Timothy 1:1-2. Okay, I told you I'd get there. I wasn't lying. 1 Timothy 1:1-2. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, according to the commandment of God our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, who is our hope, to Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul is an apostle, which means he is hand-selected by Christ to preach his message to the world. He is sent out by Christ. That's what it means to be an apostle. And Paul has chosen Timothy to come along with him to learn. Now, think about your field of expertise, whatever your career's in or whatever you enjoy studying. Think about the premier person in that field giving you a phone call and saying, I would love to mentor you in the field. What would your response be? No, you think, that's really nice. I'm doing okay, though. I appreciate that. Timothy's opportunity is so grand. I mean, this is the Apostle Paul who had this dramatic conversion. He's entrusted with the preaching of the gospel to the nations. And so he comes along and he asks Timothy to come with him on a mission trip. We learn about this in Acts 16. Quick backdrop. Paul and Barnabas came through Timothy's area in Acts chapter 14. They preached the gospel. That's probably when Eunice and Lois came to Christ. A few years later, they come back through in Acts chapter 16, and Paul learns about this young man named Timothy, and he invites him to come with him on mission, on this mission trip. Now, while they're traveling, they're eventually joined by Luke and Silas. I mean, this is like an all-star team. Timothy's on this internship, and all these great men of God are joining the team, and he's seeing great movements of God. He's seeing and meeting great men and women of God along the way. This is incredibly impactful in the life of Timothy. And now look at Paul's endearment towards Timothy. Verse 2, to Timothy, my true child in the faith. Now, Paul didn't write those words like, to Timothy, my true child in the faith. If you've ever written a love letter either to, you know, a spouse, girlfriend, boyfriend at the time, or someone that you just love, those words come right out of your heart to Timothy, my true child in the faith. This is such love coming out of Paul's heart. Even at other times, he said, he talks about the tears that would come to him when he thinks about Timothy. It's absolutely beautiful, the relationship that they had. Even look at the blessing he gives him, grace. And on top of grace, mercy. And on top of mercy, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's just heaping blessing upon Timothy. He loves Timothy, his young protege, his mentee. All right, what do we know about Timothy's upbringing? Mom was around, grandma was around. Dad was there, but no spiritual input from dad, it seems. And so Paul filled a spiritual void in Timothy's life since his father was not a believer. All right, I'm going to stand up for this part. Men, you have no idea the power and the anchor for a young man's soul that you can be by being involved in their lives. This is why we encourage men in our church to be involved in the Treehouse ministry and the Sunday school. This is why we encourage men to be involved with the Impact student ministries and to be involved in one another's lives. We are uniquely designed as men to offer strength to younger men who are coming up the ranks behind us. And if you think, well, I've made too many mistakes in life, well, you are a perfect mentor for those who are coming up behind you. Because you can say, listen, I blew this part of my life, and I want to make sure that you don't blow it the way that I blew it. And so don't underestimate the God-given strength that we have to pass on to young men who are coming up behind us. Think about this. Let's say a young boy is involved in a service project at church, and he sees other men there. We can be an incredible impact on that young boy by not even saying a word, just by being there. Because he's going to look and say, that old guy, he's at least 40 years old, he's old, and he loves Jesus. He's serving. So never underestimate the impact that we can have in the life of a young person, a young boy or a young adult. All right, I'm going to stay standing for this next part. Women. Look what Scripture says. Titus 2. Older women, you can define older if you'd like, are to encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the work of God will not be dishonored. So women, I pass on to you the same encouragement as to the men. You have no idea the power that you have, uniquely designed by God, to invest in the life of a younger woman. Have you blown it along the way? Have you felt frustrated and insecure and on down the line? But you've seen the faithful hand of God see you all through those difficulties in your life? There's ladies coming up the track behind you who need to hear of those experiences. And your input into their lives, even if it's just for 6 months, can make a tremendous impact and investment in their lives for the years to come. And so as we think about Christian mentoring and how we can assist what happens in the home through that, I want you to be thinking about, I've got something to offer. Not that I'm some hotshot, but God has seen me through, and I can help another person. Because we all have the same experiences in life. So, family, Christian mentor, and then the third influential relationship is that of church family. Acts 16:2 says, Timothy was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. I read a blog a couple weeks ago. He pointed out the obvious. His name is Dave Keene. He said the reason that Timothy was so well spoken of is because he spent time with the church. It's like, oh yeah, duh, Blair, he was there, he's involved. And so the church family, I mean, look around you. There's people, we're all on the same team. No, seriously, look around you. None of your heads are swiveling. Look around you. We're all on the same team. No one here is a superman or a superwoman. We all go through the same struggles in life, and so we encourage each other. The church family offers an influential environment across generations. And one of the things that I love about our church is that it is multi-generational. There are people here with white hair, and there's little babies born without hair, and people in between are the same. And so there's all sorts of age groups and experiences here, and from the youngest to the oldest, and we have so much that we can pass on to one another. I think the older saints offer a weight and wealth of experience and maturity to help anchor the younger generation. And so I want to encourage you. I know that a lot of older people spend a lot of time in coffee shops talking with their buddies. That's great. Have a good time with that. But why not on one of those days? One of those days, invite a younger person to come. And you take a break from your guys that you've been talking to about the sports and the weather every single day. And you take that time off in the corner with a younger person, and you begin to invest in their lives. It'll cost you a cup of coffee each week. But that is so powerful, because the faith that you've experienced in your life can be passed on, and it's going to outlive you. It's a beautiful thing. Here's a quote from the Fuller Seminary Youth Institute. They wrote, Despite the age segregation that exists in our churches and broader culture, each young person is greatly benefited when surrounded by a team of five adults. We call this the new 5-to-1 ratio. So think of a younger person. They have, hopefully, two parents, although that's not always the case. They have a youth leader, a youth spiritual leader, whether a youth pastor or a volunteer leader who's investing in them. And there's two other spots, at least, to fill. And this is where coaching comes in. This is where teaching comes in. This is where another person in the church could come along and say, hey, I see something in you, young man or young lady, and I'd like to spend some time with you, get to know you, and pass some things on to you. That can be the team of five around all of the young people in our church. I think of a young man in our church, and he was invited by a friend, started attending youth group, and his parents do not attend church. They don't attend this one. I don't think they attend any church. And so the youth leaders began to invest in him. Some men got around him, and others got around him to invest in him. And so after he graduated from the youth group, he then went back as a leader into the youth group. He's investing in others now. And now even senses that God might be calling him into full-time ministry. Isn't that beautiful? So you have the church family filling a void that the home family is not fulfilling at this particular time in the life. And God uses it in great ways. So here's what we need to know, that God can use you to multiply his kingdom by mentoring others. No one person is influenced by just one other person. Nobody has all the goods to be able to pass on to another person and give them everything they need. And so we all play our little part. And so this is why, when you think about how can I influence my kids, how can I influence my grandkids for Christ, we'll get them involved in those three relationships. Have a Christ-centered home. Send them to the Treehouse Kids Ministry. This is why we have ministries here. And how many of our children have been so impacted through our children's ministry over the years, others investing in the lives of our kids, doubling up on what we're trying to do at home. Get them involved in the Impact Student Ministry. Middle school and high school are such important years for Christian friendships. I didn't think about this, but I just thought about now. We even have a college group called The U that meets throughout the summer. And Dave and Alan Keck lead that. That's another opportunity to get our young people involved in church-family relationships and Christian relationships. Getting them involved in the life of the church and taking that opportunity to show our faith. And so those three influential relationships that can multiply Christ's kingdom. All right, halftime. Take a mental break. I'm going to have a drink. This is water, by the way. So in the first part, we talked about what are the relationships that influence Timothy and can influence the people in our lives, even us. Now we're going to talk about different batons that we're going to pass on to other people. So this next section explains, what do I pass on to someone if I began to meet with them? All right, so I want to use this analogy. Kyle, thanks for coming today. Come on up. You don't have to speak. You just need to act this out. Did you ever run any track or anything like that? Okay, well, here's, stand right here and put your hand back like this, okay, as if you're receiving the baton from me. Okay, so my daughter ran track this year at school. She took part in one particular relay, and so she had to take a baton, and she had to pass it on to another teammate. They ran the 4x4 relay, okay? So here's what I want you to do. When you think about a relay, slow down the part where the one runner passes it on to the other runner. Freeze it right there, okay? What's happening right here is there's a moment where both hands are on the baton. So freeze that moment. Freeze, Kyle. This is what Christian mentoring is. You're spending time with both of your hands on the baton. So this might happen over 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, 5 years, whatever. But there's going to be a point where now Kyle takes that baton firmly in his grip, and I let him take it on to the next runner. Okay? So this is what Christian mentoring is all about. Thank you, Kyle. Appreciate that. Impromptu volunteering. Voluntold, actually. I borrowed that phrase from Pastor Scott, to be voluntold. But let's talk about four batons now that I'm going to pass on to another person when I do begin to meet with them. We learn this from the life of Timothy, and then we'll talk about it for our own lives. The first baton is that of a Christ-centered faith. Timothy's Christian mentor, Paul, said this. He said, "Now you followed my teaching, my conduct, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my perseverance, my persecutions, and my suffering." What's he talking about? You saw all of my life played out before you, Timothy. Now you go and pass that on to other people. So he saw a Christ-centered faith. In the home, as we read earlier, Timothy saw a sincere faith in Lois, in Eunice, in Grandma, in Mom. And Paul says, "I see the same faith in you now." Where did he get that from? He got it from Lois, he got it from Eunice. If you think about how our children imitate us in the home, here's a quote from a blog. It says, "Children are really great observers. They learn by looking, and it is most certainly true when it comes to our faith. Children can determine if your faith is phony or not. It's not enough for mothers to have a believing faith, but we must also have a working, living, and active faith." Whereas hypocrisy can do damage to someone else's faith, consistency and authenticity can add weight to another person's faith, okay? To our children's faith. So we're passing on that Christ-centered faith. Our mentee gets to see us go through hard times and loss and difficulties and trials, and they're going to see an enduring faith in us because we love Jesus. The second baton is the baton of the centrality of the Bible. The centrality of the Bible. The Bible is core to all things. Remember, Paul said of Timothy, he says, "From childhood, you've known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." How did Timothy learn that there's a God who loves him? Because Lois and Eunice opened the Bible. How did he learn that he's a sinner in need of God's grace? Because they opened the Bible. How did they learn about the life of Jesus Christ? Because they opened the Bible. How did Timothy learn that Christ died on the cross for his sins? Because they opened the Bible. How did they learn about his resurrection from the dead and the gift of eternal life? Because the family opened up the Bible. Lois and Eunice aren't pulling these things out of thin air. They're receiving it from a revealed source, from Scripture and from the life of Jesus Christ. Paul also encourages Timothy as a mentor. He says, "All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness." And so use it in your life, Timothy, and then in the church. And here's where I need you to finish my sentence. Paul commands Timothy, he says, "Preach the word." Don't preach the newspaper, Timothy. Preach the word. In the church family, preach the word. And so the centrality of the Bible is brought across very clearly to Timothy. A third baton is that of the priority of prayer. Paul says, "I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day." And so that priority of prayer is passed on to Timothy. And then lastly, the baton of local church discipleship, which is a fancy way of saying, get involved in the life of the church and disciple other people. Pass on to them what has been passed on to you, much as like I passed that baton on to Kyle, and Kyle took it and ran, and you can play it out. He goes and passes it on to others. Lois and Eunice got Timothy involved in the church in Lystra. Timothy influenced believers and then was also influenced by the believers there. Paul took Timothy with him on a mission trip and introduced him to ministry, and then Paul trained Timothy in ministry and even assigned him leadership positions. This is local church discipleship. And so introduce your family and your friends to this, to these. And these four batons are what we pass on to others. So now when you begin to mentor somebody, you don't have to be like, I don't know what to talk to you about. Because I just gave you four areas that you can start in and talk those things through with your mentee. All right, so here's the challenge. Will you multiply Christ's kingdom by mentoring others? Our mission here is to glorify God by making disciples of Jesus Christ who are rooted deep with God, rooted deep with one another, and reaching wide into the world. As we think about reaching wide this year, it's not always about going out and doing evangelism, although we ought to do that. It could be that my investment in a young Timothy or a young Timothyette could reach all kinds of people because I'm investing in them, and then they have all sorts of connections and the gifting to go and meet and help other people. And so my investment, little by little, in another person could pay big dividends, think in terms of compound interest. But let's just be honest, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you a lot, actually, to take this step. It's going to cost you intentional time over time. It's going to cost you 3 months, 6 months, a year, 5 years. It's going to cost you 1 to 2 hours a week. It's going to cost you an interruption at an inconvenient time. Oh, they're calling again? Because life is messy. It's going to cost you a cup of coffee. It's going to cost you gas money. It might cost you the cost of 16 pizzas in order to mentor other people. It's going to cost you concern. Mentoring others is like spiritual parenting. It's going to cost you concern. You're going to be up late waiting for them to come home. It's going to cost you heartache because that person that you're investing is not going to do it right every single time, just like we don't do it right. And so you're going to think, oh, didn't we talk about this? So there's a cost, but there's tremendous benefit. You're going to see that person love the Lord. You're going to see them grow in maturity, and where they didn't care previously about what Jesus thought about the situation, they're going to start asking those questions. You're going to develop a dear friendship with that person. You're going to not think that you could love another person the way that you love that person that you're mentoring. And you're going to see Christ's kingdom multiply. That's a beautiful thing. That's what we're doing. We're here to invest in God's kingdom. So here's the challenge. As an older woman, and again, I'll let you define older man or older woman, or as an older married couple, have you ever thought about approaching a younger person or couple in the church and saying, hey, I've been watching you, and I got to tell you, you remind me a lot of myself when I was your age. And you know what? I've been thinking, I want to invest in someone. And I was wondering if you'd be interested in meeting for coffee so that we can just talk about life and talk about what it means to follow Jesus in this life. Would you be interested in that? And I'll bet there are young people in the church who are just, they're in life and they're drowning, waiting for a life preserver to come along to help them through some situations in their lives. And you would be such a blessing to them. You might think, me? Yes, yes, you can be a blessing. If you've blown it in life, you are qualified to be a mentor because you can help other people learn from your mistakes. So here's what I want you to do. Take up that blue pad again, someone who's closest to it, and open it up. You'll see on the inside there, on that left side, the connection sheet, there's this area. It's circled on the screen. It's not circled in the book. But if you'd like to mentor another person, go ahead and write that down. If you'd like to be mentored, write that down also. Now, just this encouragement. You know a whole lot more than you think you know. And so I don't want to see 50 people write down, I want to be mentored, and nobody write down, I'm willing to mentor. God can use you in a great way. And so would you step out in faith? If this is something you need to think about and pray about, you can talk to us later, specifically Pastor Dewey. So you can be taking that up, passing it down as I close up here. Let me give you this illustration. I'm going to tell you about Dave Cass, a.k.a. Pastor Dave. Recently retired, moved to Austin with his family, and they're doing really well, by the way. But let's back up into the life of Dave Cass. There were many influences in Dave's life. His family influenced him. He was raised in a Christian home. His mom and dad gave him that good Christian foundation. Dave rebelled against God, against his parents for many years. And so that foundation, though, was laid in his life. And it was a church family member, it also turned out to be a family member, his uncle, who said to him at one point when Dave was really struggling with life, his uncle said to him, do you think this might be a spiritual battle in your life? And that question, that challenge from his uncle helped him to see, I need to surrender my life to Christ. Also, there was a Christian mentor who invested in Dave's life. Pastor Dave used to operate a printing press, and he got his hand caught in that printing press, and so he was off of work for many months. So his pastor came to him and said, Dave, he may not have said this, but since you don't have anything to do, why don't you come with me, and you can go with me on visitations, and I'll teach you how to do these things. And so for those months, his pastor invested in him, and then eventually, Pastor Dave heard the call of God to enter into ministry. He and Fran went with their three boys at the age of 32, Dave and Fran were about that age, down to Appalachian Bible College, and he got the training that was needed. He took his first pastorate in Bluffton, Ohio, and then was here at E-Free for many years. But you know what happened there? We reaped the benefits of everyone else's investment in Dave Cass. And now we need to take what was passed on to us from Dave and to keep it going in terms of caring for one another and preaching the word and all that he stands for. So the next time that we look around at a young person and we say, man, I wonder if they're ever going to amount to anything, we ought to consider that God's call to us to make sure that that person does amount to something. All right, let's pray together, and then we're going to be dismissed. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to dig into your word together and to be encouraged, to be mentors. Thank you for those who are investing in so many ways. I praise you, Lord Jesus, for Sunday school teachers and impact community group leaders and family group leaders and community group leaders and informal friendships and accountability groups and all the investment cross-pollination that's happening here, trying to help one another follow Jesus more closely. And so as a result of the scriptures, I pray that there would be some significant mentoring relationships come about for your glory. So bless each one today, and thank you for this challenge from your word. I pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You are loved, and you are dismissed.